The recording is on.
I have to really talk.
Okay.
Yesterday, the city cut the grass.
I guess we'll.
And Bagel was walking on the west grass. I had a green dog when I came.
We'll call the meeting to order. It is 5:15, 16:17, I guess. And Patrick, reiterate who's not here.
Susan Glassman should be here. Terry Crow will not be able to make it. And Latrice Johnson will not be able to make it either.
Okay. Do we have a copy of the minutes from last time in this
The
pile?
Minutes are on page 33.
I think I looked them over at home online, but everybody take a quick minute. By the way, thank you for doing such good minutes. Any questions or corrections for the minutes?
They look good.
Could I have a motion to accept them, please?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor accepting the minutes?
Aye.
They are accepted. Patrick, do we have some correspondence?
We have minimal correspondence, other than I think a few things asking us for money. We received the second check for state aid to public libraries. It's at 50 cents per capita for the state of Missouri.
Oh.
So it's a nice amount of money. And that was it.
Okay. So that's 50 cents per capita of your city?
Yes. So we get $17,600 a year.
Great. Is there a friend's report? Susan is here. Thank you.
The friends met yesterday, and they also had their annual meeting on April 29th. Their April 29th meeting, they had about 50-some people in attendance for best-selling author Curtis Sittenfeld. They elected a slate of officers and appointed board members. Their next big event will be Trivia Night. Yeah, you've all got something about Trivia Night in your packet there. Hope you can attend. We haven't had a board table in a couple of years. Carl will be tending bar, so that's always a plus. So you could probably, you guys have an in with him. So. They're looking for authors and programs for next year. And we have asked, the gala committee has asked the members of the Friends to serve as hosts, as I think you will be asked here tonight, for the gala in October. They have about, I mean, it's $17,000 in their budget. Right? Oh no, excuse me. They've given us the check for $10,000 at the last meeting, so it's about $7,000 in their budget right now. So we'll be using part of that for the summer reading programs, paying for some of the children's performers to come, and we just put in a grant for two early literacy computer stations for kids, and if we get that grant, the Friends will be matching, providing the library match for that. The rest of that grant has to do with literacy as well. And the rest of the meeting was taken up with assignments for Trivia Night. So. Here's the program for that Curtis Sittenfeld event, if anyone wants to take a look at that. And that's the Friends report.
Okay, and the librarian's report, since we have no council liaison presence, we skip it.
So we're still going back and forth with Cersei Dynex about the sort of big data loss on April 11th, which caused us to lose
tell us about that? I was shocked when I heard that.
They were testing a new product. It's called Blue Cloud. It's supposed to do some really cool things, and we're sure it will. Early reports are promising. They wanted to see what it would look like on our database. We have two databases. We have our live database, and we have a backup database, a test database. They grabbed the live database.
Instead of the test.
Yeah, and they had also done a backup right before they started it, just in case something like that should ever go wrong. They didn't notice until we started calling. It was also, they'd also done it on a day when our system administrator was off. She had sort of an emergency family issue. And they went ahead with it. So about an hour or two, you weren't here that day either.
We were
system administrator less that day. And we just started calling Cersei Dynex, and they made several errors. The first one was grabbing the wrong database. The second one was not letting customer support know that they were doing this, so we were calling customer support, and they didn't know anything about it. When they finally figured out that they were doing something wrong, they made their third error, which was grabbing the wrong backup tape. So they got us what they thought was restored, and then we started noticing things like people calling and saying, I was just there 2 hours ago and turned this book in, and it still says it's out on my account. Because they grabbed, like, the day before's backup tape. So when all was said and done, they got us as close as they could to, they rebacked it up and got us as close as they could. And they estimate we lost about 6.5 hours in the busiest part of the day. We were sort of lucky in that we had a couple of loose shelvers. We had a problem with our delivery. It came late. So we had all our shelvers went in the back, and no one was actually shelving at the time. And when we realized we were having sort of repeated problems, we sort of corralled all the items that were coming in. Some of the other laundries did notice it, so they have books out on their shelves that still say they're checked out. We think we pretty much contained that. I think our biggest problem would be that we'll have things that were checked out to patrons that we won't know patrons have. And most of those will come back. People will bring them back thinking they're due on the date we told them they were due. In many cases, we would have given them a slip saying they were due on the May 1st, May 2nd, whatever the date was.
But they won't get the electronic notice.
They won't get it, but it's not checked out on their account anymore. It was checked out in that brief period until it was rebacked up. So we'll also have lost some requests. People who put up requests in the system during that time lost those requests. Anyone who paid for fines or fees that were on that card during that time will have lost records of that. So we're just aware of that, and we're waiving any sort of fees or fines like that. We think we didn't do too bad on that either, because we were fairly close in the amount of money we took in versus the amount of money the system said we should have.
So there was a brand new library e-newsletter that came out this week. Was there a box telling people about that?
The one that had gone to press a couple weeks before.
Might be a good idea in the next one.
Yeah.
How often does that come out? Once a month?
That's quarterly.
Quarterly.
Yeah, so it's not a real good. We could send out put something out there. We haven't really run into any problems yet, and we've been real good about just believing everybody. The only thing we think we're going to have is someone claiming they don't have a, they turned in a book, and we'll just believe them, or that they've already paid some fines.
So is Cersei Dynex going to do something for us since they botched it?
We all estimated the amount of staff time we wasted and the amount of items that might have been lost, and we came up with a figure of about $15,000 consortium-wide, and I think Cersei Dynex has pretty much agreed to pay that now.
Oh, good.
They should.
Yeah.
And they're changing the way they do these tests. This was considered a pilot and not a beta in their vernacular. And pilots had much less stringent requirements. They didn't have to let customer service know. They didn't have to let us know that they were starting it, and we've asked them to have a sort of a signed permission from us before they ever do anything like that again, and they're going to be a little stricter on their end as well. So we've had a couple of meetings with the local vice president and the salesperson. So
you You said it was consortium-wide.
It was. Yeah, we share the one database. So they were in there, and they were grabbing the one that all nine libraries were using at that time. And they kept saying, you know, like half an hour into it, an hour into it, 4 hours into it, they kept saying, okay, everything's fine now, and then we'd find more problems. So
anything else on your librarian's report, more positive?
On the sort of building issues, I think the thing that I had neglected to mention there is we've mostly migrated all the email accounts, or we've migrated all the email accounts.
One person left.
So we're all now at the ucitylibrary.org domain for email addresses. It's a Microsoft 360 product. It should be a lot more stable than our sort of failing email server. And the web server as well, we should be moving. Do we have a date on that?
We do not.
Okay. We're working with Adam Kellogg, our consultant, to get everything moved over onto a cloud-based web server, so we're not, you know, not sitting on a dying server back here, which is also what impacted circulation. People can't place holds when it's down. It usually waits to go down like a Friday night when Chris is going out of town or something like that. And we don't know about it until someone calls us.
Are you going to update the staff list with the new emails?
Yes. Yeah. So I've got the list of all the staff emails. I'll send that out to you.
Okay. Or just have it available next meeting.
Okay.
And we had suggested at one point that we get a list of names with pictures, so this might be a good opportunity.
Yeah, the pictures, we hadn't done that, but I've got the names out last board meeting, but
yeah.
We're trying to get pictures.
Oh, I wasn't here, so I must have, yeah. But, yeah, so when you resend this, maybe just, it's easy enough.
We'll ask everyone to
selfies.
Okay.
It's sort of just embarrassing not to know people.
We'll have a yearbook. We'll have a yearbook.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That means we have to be in it, too.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be the faculty.
Faculty, okay.
Are high school pictures acceptable?
Yeah.
That would be good.
I think that would be awesome.
Except for those of us from the
or
the
baby
70s
pictures.
Or big hairs.
Yeah.
That would be a contest in itself.
Yeah. And I also forgot to mention in the meeting, the programs and events, the wonderful Arts and Letters program up in the auditorium, the tribute to Marv Levy. There were easily 100 people there.
With that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the $40,000 has been contributed to support that project, the public art project going forward.
That's great.
And,
next to grants and fundraising then?
Yeah, grants and fundraising.
It's in the...
Yeah, this is pages 4 and 5.
So if people read their
materials,
we really don't have to...
grant.
Is there something that we don't have in here that we should know about?
You just wanted to mention for the gala?
Yeah, the committee for the gala is asking that board members also be hosts at the gala, which will be the 25th of October. So please put that on your calendars. And we're working on invitations and all kinds of things. Dorothy, do you have anything to add to that?
No more than I am in charge of the silent auction. So if anyone have any contributions they want to make or donations they want to make, just let me know. That.
What type of stuff are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for, tickets, baseball tickets,
okay.
Football tickets, anything that's going to sell where people's going to bid on,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be very interesting.
If
and
you have an in with a local restaurant tour.
Restaurants, maybe, restaurants. Eleanor has secured a couple of tickets to the opera or what she's involved in, the Muni. And also we're going to have a couple of those as well. So, but anything that we know that people will certainly bid on, it will be helpful.
And as part of the host duties, we'll also sort of ask you guys to reach out to people you know in the community and get us attendees and people who want to donate the big bucks to the local library.
Is the event going to be here?
It'll be here, yeah, sort of throughout the library.
Oh, throughout?
And it will be by ticket, and the tickets start at $75. So, after all, we're celebrating 75 years of a library, and that's only a dollar a year. Whether you're 75 or more or less, it's still a nice contribution. Mm-hmm. And there are other donation levels if you want to
donate.
Yeah, you're welcome to donate as much as
possible, please. Do we have a where the money is going to besides paying for the party?
Yeah, we'll be we're hoping to raise enough money to buy some nice sort of furniture, new computer furniture throughout the library, sort of some showcase pieces to help with our 3D printer and other makerspace equipment. We've got the funding for the equipment. We need some money for the both the furniture and the infrastructure. We have to, I'll just point at you, and we have to do what with if we get the gig access?
Right, we're going to need some specialty equipment for that, but we were hoping to just have some tables or something where people could work together on projects. Right now, it's just like those study carols out there. There's really no flexibility for people who are trying to do something as a team or something like that. So just to have different kind of seating setups, still have some private areas, but also have something that a group could work on something.
But do we have to re-cable throughout the building too, or is that?
We'll have to re-cable many areas if we get the gigabit access, because we're rated now for just 100 meg, and that's 100 times that amount, so all that will have to be done. And some new routers and switches and stuff like that, so we're trying to make that, hopefully we get that access, it'll be huge. Huge, exciting thing and every piece of equipment we're buying is rated for that now, but some of the older pieces will have to be replaced. Even though they're still functioning, they just can't handle that speed.
Anything else?
On the frogs, we have, in the library, we have the plaque ordered. I haven't gotten, they usually send a little mock-up of it back. I haven't seen that yet, so. Though, I find that, we're all finding many things that you were sort of overlooking in the email shift, where everything that goes to the old email address now comes to me in my new email address to Patrick from Patrick. So, you get a lot of those. And the tapestries are right over there in the corner. Linda Ballard had suggested that I ask Shelley Helfman, the husband of the late Muriel Nesmi Helfman, to ask about the one on the left there, which the Becker family, who donated the tapestries, believes was done by Muriel, but isn't 100% sure. We're at the Friends meeting last night, one of the Phyllis Weber, who says she knows a lot of Muriel's work, said she didn't think that was Muriel's. I don't know.
Which Becker family is that? Is it Janet Bernard Becker?
I have it on that over there.
It's in here somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
Bernard and Janet. Then we're on to discussion items, unless there's anything else we want to talk about in the information items.
I suggest you look at your checkout, because there's a lot of neat things happening this summer. And by the way, didn't the treasure, the what is it, not treasure hunt, what's it called?
Oh, the scavenger hunt.
Scavenger hunt
right
has started.
Yeah.
So ask them the questions for U City.
Mm-hmm. We've got, what is
can they
the,
answer them?
Yeah, you can, you're more than welcome
ask
to get a passport. They are, what is the lion have on his head?
How many bathtubs do
we have? How many
bathtubs
are there? And then what are the frog names? So. You have to go from the entrance through the first floor and on up to the second floor to answer all those.
That's cool.
And we do have t-shirts for anyone who wants one of the MLC t-shirts. So.
Okay.
Yeah, Kathleen said on Saturday there was a little kid that came in by about 10. He and his dad had already been to 4 libraries, and he was scouting out everything and was very excited about it. So
great. Yeah, that's very good. Okay, discussion items.
The service today, Krista's going to talk about the 3D printer, which is right out here, if anyone didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, I pretty much made everybody.
You two can have a Queen Anne coffee table.
Yeah,
but the legs broke.
The legs broke, though, so.
Cool. I love the lions. Yeah.
I'm trying to see what the lion has on its head.
Yeah, that's not the that's
not
the
right
lion.
Lion.
So as you see, we have the 3D printer. It's up and functional. We are hoping probably the week after next, just because Bill's on vacation next week, we'll just start putting it out in the public area and doing demo prints. We're trying to figure out how to charge people for printing. Two schools of thought there, going with a careful measurement of weighing it and then, you know, doing it by whatever, you know, unit of measure, or just by the time that it takes to print the item, which seems a lot easier. So if you're printing for 30 minutes, it's $1 or something like that. So we'll probably go with the easiest way. We'll have three free softwares on all the public computers that allow you to make 3D models. And then we're looking at maybe buying one or two expensive ones to put on our high-end machines just for the super serious. I mean, they're like $500 a piece, so we certainly aren't going to have that on every machine. And so then we'll just let the public start printing. So that, of course, will be after the staff training that will happen. But so we're coming up with those procedures now, and we'll have a nice report for that next month.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions about 3D printing? You have any little requests of things you want printed? Because there are a million models out there. We can print anything for you.
Money.
If you go to Thingiverse.com, and it's just Thing, I, and Verse, it's a website that's sort of devoted to plans for and models for 3D objects that you can use on the printers. So a lot of people use that. We also have the 3D scanner that'll allow you to.
Right. The 3D scanner is a small little thing where you can place something on it, and it runs around it, and it makes the 3D model for you. It'll be interesting to see how we can implement that in the public area, just the way it's not a real hardy piece of equipment. We've already scanned a glue bottle. That's as much as we've done. It's not big enough to put my cat on it. You know, I mean, it's a smaller item kind of thing. It's not huge, but that'll be available. So you can bring your little special thing in and have it scanned as well. And then you'll have the 3D model and you can print it off if you need that.
And then the third way is the way Dave, your husband, did the models for you.
Yeah. So my husband made the model of the little lion logos just using a CAD program that he had. So.
And we'll also have the CAD software available for people who might make their own projects.
Right, and even the Thingiverse, you can download something, so you know, even the Queen Anne table, when we can edit it, so we could have changed the legs on it, you know, before we broke them. But so you can edit those models, but somebody else has already made the model, and for all of you who are watching Game of Thrones, there's models of Westeros and all the Game of Thrones cities out there. So yeah, we can have a lot of printing going on.
Does it have a color capability?
Right. We have, I think, 5 different colors. This is just called natural. We have black, white, green, red.
And then we got every color available.
No, blue. I don't think we got every color, but we got a lot.
Available.
We got a lot. So, but it's one color at a time, obviously. So we were thinking about, you know, each day on the website saying, hey, we're printing in green today. Come by and print your object out. And you're right, we have more than that, because I was thinking, because I was looking at it, and I was like, yes, we need this and this and this. So we have a lot more than 5.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think what all of them are.
Yeah, I was surprised. There were just more in the box.
Yeah, so we'll be printing off in color. That natural was the one that just came in the machine, and it's sort of kind of neat to be able to see a little bit kind of inside. The other ones are a solid, you know, color, so.
How's the training coming?
hasn't started yet. This is the first sort of
this is our first
big printing day.
Public demo, yeah. We printed a couple of items. Obviously, I think we just unpacked it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And do not put your fingers in there.
Yeah.
Yes, I already burned myself, even though it said it was cooling down from 200-something degrees. I'm like, oh, that's not hot. Oh, wait, I found the hot spot. So
yeah, we're going to have to put something clear around it so the kids can't reach in. It's 250 degrees Celsius, so it's a little warm.
Right. It's, yeah, melting that plastic to make that print. So, and my finger will tell you it is hot.
Well, the summer reading programs for the kids in the checkout sound really wonderful. I'm coming on at least one of the dates, like June 30th, because I want to see a kid read to a dog. I think that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I think aside from all the so many programs that they have going and parties and everything that make the kids really excited, for me, I had never done summer reading here as a kid. What's great about the program and, the youth services staff is they have it set up so the little kid reads a book and then they come in and they report about the book to a teenager. So they get to talk to an older kid. A, it gives the teenagers volunteer opportunities in the summer. And B, that's so exciting for a little kid. And they can do a little book report then. And that's how they get credit for their reading. In the old days when I did it, it was just like, oh, just put it on a piece of paper. But this is a really neat thing. And then when they come in and report, they get to spin the wheel and win prizes, which of course are great for kids too. So that in addition to, 70 programs? Amazing amount.
And they've expanded the age range for a lot of the programs this year. We're having programs that will include 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, where before it had been a 4-year-old and up. And this is to encourage, again, it's part of the early literacy, encouraging kids to learn to read at an early age. One of the programs that involves playing with food, I think it's called Messology. They're bringing in little like alphabet cookies for the little kids to play with, and they'll be encouraging them to draw like their alphabet in pudding.
Pudding
is a proven method, literacy method.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we've got a lot of great programs for adults as well, both centered around Middlemarch and then going into the Lincoln programs in August. And both of those, I think, are Kathleen grants. Kathleen had done grants for both of those. Andy's doing the grant for Lincoln Performer to come in, I believe.
Right.
And the Middlemarch one is not just reading Middlemarch.
Mm-hmm.
We have ancillary programs. Rebecca Mead is a really important author regarding Middlemarch and George Eliot, and she's going to be here on the 4th.
On the 4th, I know, and I'm going to miss that program. I'll be away at a meeting, and I'm disappointed that that was the only day she could do.
And Kathleen has a couple of other programs in there with regard to crafts of the 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Annie's doing a lot of those. Annie will be leading our crafts. Is that true, or is it
Annie and Sally
will be doing our fiber arts crafts programs.
Right, and as the Mornet grant is about makerspace and technology, we're still building. Making things obviously is anything. So we're being able to sort of tie that in as we're also a place where you can learn these other kind of crafts and things like that. And we did the thing with the Weaver's Guild before, we're giving people a whole breadth of, you don't need to be a computer person to come here and learn about making.
Great. Well, I think we could move on to mission statement. Now, that was in your packet last month on page 8 of last month.
And I did not. Krista had sent me a bunch of suggestions, and I had found some other ones. I did not send out the pithy, to the not-so-pithy mission statements from other libraries. I apologize. Do you want to table that till next month?
So we should compare
ours with others?
Yeah,
I'll send out the ones that we have.
Okay.
Take a look and see if you guys would like to.
We got a big agenda anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tabled.
And
Edmund, standards. Go ahead.
Edmund had said he had to leave at 6. Did you want to do the closed session before that?
Oh.
Or do you want to just do it in the normal course of the meeting?
Well, if you're going to leave, anybody else have to leave early? No? Well, we should probably have as many people as possible, so maybe we should do the closed session then.
And Cynthia's got the closed session minutes from last time if you want to do the approval of those during your closed session. And someone would have to take minutes, closed session minutes for this this session as well. And again, it would, and this is on page 6, the sort of verbiage that we need to do to actually go into closed session.
Okay. So this requires a roll call.
Mm-hmm.
For agreement to go into the session, is that it? So.
And on page 6 is just the language for how someone would make the motion. I guess it would just be moving to go into closed session based on section 610.021 of the revised statutes.
So can we have a motion to go into the closed session?
So move.
Second.
Now I read the names and we
get... I believe you actually have to say the part there that under 610.021 revised.
The tentative agenda of this meeting also includes the vote to close part of this meeting pursuant to section 610.021. of the revised Missouri statute, subsection 13, individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees.
So, each person then says yes. Luis Hoffman, yes.
Yes. Edmund Name. Acosta.
Harold Williams, yes.
Susan Glassman, yes.
Carl Sanchez, yes.
Deborah Arbogast, yes.
Dorothy Davis, yes.
Joy Lieberman, yes.
And it's unanimous from all present.
649.